Good morning and welcome to a Red River Radio Spotlight. I'm Bill Beckett, the program director for Red River Radio. And coming up this weekend at the Robinson Film Center, a showing of the documentary Particle Fever, which captures the launch of the Large Hadron Collider. And this morning with me in our Knoll Foundation studios are Alexander Kent, the executive director of the Robinson Film Center, and on the phone with me is Dr. Lee Sawyer, a professor of physics at Louisiana Tech University, who is also a host for this screening on Saturday. Alex and Dr. Sawyer, thanks for joining me this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
So, Alex, can you give us an overview of this documentary? What is it about? Why is this a special documentary, kind of standing out from all the other documentaries?
Well, I think one of the exciting things about it is that it witnesses a major moment of scientific discovery. They are right there as they're conducting what's billed as the planet's largest science experiment ever conducted. And I think that the excitement of seeing this unfold on the big screen is exactly why we wanted to bring it to the Robinson Film Center.
And this was edited, was it not, by some famous people
who
have some credentials, so to speak?
Right. That's very personal for me, because Walter Murch, who's a famous editor and sound designer, did things like The Conversation, The Godfather, The English Patient, actually stitched together this film. And every single film you watch of his, you're absolutely thrilled, and you don't know why, because he's just an incredible storyteller.
So it was a film buff just from his ability to tell a story.
Yeah.
And for those who enjoy good theater.
This is what you would technically call a geek out for me.
Okay.
So.
Well, Dr. Sawyer, will you be enjoying this geek out? And can you tell us a little bit about, first of all, what is the Large Hadron? Can you give us kind of an inside scoop about what this device is and what you are doing with it?
Well, like Alex said, this is literally the largest scientific instrument ever devised by mankind. It is a proton-proton accelerator. It's 27 kilometers in circumference. It sits sort of underneath the Jura Mountains just outside of Geneva, and it has four very large experiments associated with it. And by large, I'm talking about devices that are nearly 10 stories high. Full of microelectronics and computers, high-speed computers, and the scale of this thing is just—it's almost hard to imagine. And I think the movie really captures for us—it's kind of a geek out just to work with these huge devices and kind of play around with recreating the conditions right after the Big Bang.
And so this collider, which was actually, when they were designing this and deciding to build it, there was a couple of spots in the United States where they were looking at, were they not?
Oh, you're bringing up painful memories for me.
Yeah, well, for you and for some other folks, I was in Florida at that time as well.
I think it can expand, can it?
Yeah, we were working on something called the Superconducting Super Collider in Texas.
Right.
At the same time this was initially being built. This was built over a very long time. Large Hadron Collider was the first designs for it really began in the early 1990s. I did some initial work in the mid-90s on it when I was still in Texas, and then after I came to Louisiana Tech, we joined the ATLAS experiment, which is the experiment that's really featured in this movie, Particle Fever.
So let's get to these experiments. When you say the Hadron Collider allows you to recreate the conditions that have not existed literally since the very beginning of the universe, can you describe to us exactly what these conditions are? I mean, what are we talking about?
So we're talking about taking large amounts of protons in this accelerator and colliding them together at the highest energies we've ever collided particles together, energies up to 14 trillion electron volts, and really creating a very high energy density region where physics behaves differently than it does at our energies. It's really a regime of energy where we expect to see new particles, new interactions, new states of matter.
And when you say high levels of energy, we're talking about heat energy, electromagnetic energy. Are there other energy levels that we're talking about here as well?
We're talking about the fundamental forces of nature. So that includes the things you just said and also the strong nuclear force, the weak nuclear force that really only operates within inside the nucleus of an atom. And we want to understand where all those forces come from. and also where the mass of all these particles come from. And that leads us into talking about the Higgs boson, for example.
Okay, and let's go to that. What is the Higgs boson? If you could describe it, say, you know, like for the 10-year-old child, how would you go about doing that?
Well, I hope a lot of 10-year-old children have heard about it and are interested in learning more, because it's exciting science. I'm 51 years old. The year I was born, 1963, a fellow named Peter Higgs hypothesized that there was a particle whose very existence would cause other particles to have mass. In other words, early in the universe, when the universe first begins, all particles are massless. And then this Higgs field sort of appears out of the vacuum. It's almost like a phase change where steam becomes water droplets. These Higgs particles appear. And by interacting with the other particles in the early universe, electrons, protons, things like that, quarks, are given masses and become massive. And other particles that don't interact with the Higgs remain massless. So it's a key concept in our theoretical models of particle physics. And for my entire lifetime, up until, you know, 2012, we really didn't know if this particle existed or not. It was sort of the grand holy grail of particle physics to discover the Higgs. And a lot of that is what's captured in this movie, Particle Fever. And then July 4th, 2012, we made the official announcement. I was actually at CERN when we agreed internally within the experiment that we had enough data to make the announcement that we discovered this Higgs boson.
And what is it specifically about the Higgs that you saw during this experiment that told you, in fact, it was the Higgs boson?
The Higgs boson, when it's produced and then shortly thereafter when it decays, leaves a very specific signature. It decays into certain final states, certain particle final states that allow you to say, yes, that's a Higgs. Trouble is, it does it so very, very rarely. So this is the ultimate needle in a haystack type of search. We have to go through literally billions and billions of interactions to find the handful that correspond to a Higgs decay.
So just from my own curiosity, at the very beginning of the universe, as all of the energy was pouring out of the initial singularity, it was cooling down, and at some state it reached a point where this Higgs boson was able to start interacting with the other particles?
That's right. That's right.
So it's essentially a part of the whole cooling of the universe that allows matter to kind of form out of what was essentially just primordial energy.
Exactly.
And so at that point, when you're trying to recreate those initial conditions of that early universe, we're talking about some very high energy, some very high heat.
So on a per-particle basis, yes. The thing you don't have to worry about is this energy is not accumulated.
Right.
So these are very, very tiny subatomic particles that are being slammed together at these high energies. But if you compare these energies to sort of the reactions that occur in the core of the sun, yeah, that's right. These are at a high energy. In fact, we are able to produce states of matter that are more similar to what occurs inside of a neutron star or a collapsed star.
And is the Hadron Collider, that is, of course, one stage in the life of science. So what comes after the Large Hadron Collider?
Well, that's the big question, isn't it? so this is part of the drama and the excitement of this movie, is we weren't sure we were going to find the Higgs or anything else for that matter. And if that had happened, had we turned on this huge machine that had cost so much money and discovered nothing, it really would have meant, I think, the end of particle physics. There is that dramatic element, which I think the documentary captures, where we don't know if this is the last machine we're ever going to build or not. And discovering the Higgs is huge, but really the Higgs was expected. What we want to see is something new. We want to see something like, and I'll throw out some terms that maybe some of the listeners are familiar with, things like supersymmetry, things like new extra dimensions in space-time. If we can start seeing some of those hints at the Large Hadron Collider, then I think there's a possibility that we might build larger machines in the future. Right now, the plan is to keep upgrading the Large Hadron Collider. So right now, they're upgrading the magnets. We're going to turn on again next spring at a higher energy than we were. The plans are to make the beams brighter and try to go as high energy as we can with the current machine.
How high of an energy can the Hadron go to, do you think?
So when we were running previously, in 2011, 2012, we only actually got up to 8 trillion electron volts in these collisions, which sounds like a lot. As I mentioned earlier, the design energy was 14 trillion electron volts. I think we're going to get to that when we turn back on. So that's almost doubling the energy. And by doing that, you know, that just puts us that much closer to these new states of matter that we're hoping to see. There's about 10,000 superconducting magnets that make up this ring that we use to steer the beams, and the vacuum inside this accelerator is literally better than the vacuum of space.
So I guess the final question I wanted to ask you is, what does this new data mean in the quest for the unified field theory, or unifying the different areas of physics?
So it's interesting you bring that up, because in this documentary, Particle Fever, they follow a couple of theoretical physicists whose job really is to build these theories that unify all the forces of nature, exactly what you're talking about. And so a couple of the people that the documentary follow really are working on that. And right now, we're at the point where the theoretical model we have, what we call the standard model, works. We've discovered the Higgs. The final missing piece has fallen into place. But what we really need when we turn the Large Hadron Collider back on next year is some hints of where to go next. And right now, we are at a new threshold, and we're just now looking out, and we're just now trying to discover what that landscape looks like.
And so for all of those folks out there like me who have a lot of questions and no answers, there'll be a chance to actually talk with you after the showing on Saturday. Is that correct?
That's right. So I'll introduce the film. Again, it's an experiment that Louisiana Tech is working on. Tech is the only school in Louisiana, and really the only school in the Mid-South region, who's working on these experiments. And I'll give a little short introduction, and then I'll have a Q&A session afterwards.
And Alex, how long is this film showing? Now, the talk is going to be at Saturday, right, at 5 p.m.? Well, the movie at 5 p.m. and the talk afterwards.
Right.
When does the film premiere?
We open on Friday the 18th,
okay.
And it's going to run for at least a week.
All right. And so there'll be showings on different days at different times?
Yep, it's got a regular run.
Mm-hmm. Okay, got a regular run.
Mm-hmm.
And how do folks go ahead and get tickets for this?
They can obviously show up at the Film Center at the box office, and they can buy online from our website at robinsonfilmcenter.org.
Do either of you have any last things you want to share with the audience? Yeah.
I just have a question for Dr. Sawyer.
Go for it.
You know, I'm a popular science reader, and I think that I'm always attracted to the human dramas of it, obviously. And great storytellers are, you know, always there at the moment. But I'm curious about when you did confirm that the data, that the Higgs boson was there, what did you feel?
So we had had a couple of false starts. We had had a couple of points earlier where we thought we'd seen it, and the signal went away with more data. And so one of the things that happened in, say, June, early July, just before the announcement, was we were so very, very careful. We checked, and we double-checked, and we triple-checked everything we possibly could to make sure that the signal we were seeing was real. But you could feel the intensity building up, and people were you know, secretly showing each other these little plots, and I think this is it, and I think, oh, look, I think this is the mass, you know. And then we finally had this large meeting within the experiment itself where the spokesperson, who is this wonderful scientist, Fabiola Giannotti, she, you know, stood before all of us and said, I think we can go ahead. And that was a moment of, I try to remember how you're going to feel about this, Lee, because, you know, you're going to remember this for the rest of your life sort of thing. And it was exciting. There was a real sense of relief, though, that we had finally discovered it. And actually, I want to say something, too, and
sure.
That is, I'm a huge film buff. We started this talking about Alex geeking out over the film part. I am so happy to work with Robinson, because I'm a huge film fan, and we try to come over as often as we can. I hope one of the things that people will discover watching Particle Fever is these very intelligent people working on these experiments are also very real people with, you know, real feelings. They're not Mr. Spock from Star Trek.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think that's the cool part about films like this, when you get in the room, you realize that everybody's human, and they all have their ambitions and they all have their fears, you know?
Right.
Just human beings with questions, nothing more.
Right.
All right. Well, I want to thank both of you for coming in this morning. This has been fun.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you.
That was Alexander Kent, the executive director at the Robinson Film Center, and on the phone with us this morning, Dr. Lee Sawyer, a professor of physics at Louisiana Tech University. They joined me in our Knoll Foundation studios this morning to talk about the film Particle Fever, a documentary which captures the launch of the Large Hadron Collider. Particle Fever will be screened at the Robinson Film Center beginning Friday and all next week. And on Saturday, April 19th at 5 p.m. following the film, Dr. Lee Sawyer will field questions to help audience members understand why this unprecedented experiment matters to scientists and non-scientists alike. If you'd like more information, you can contact the Robinson Film Center online at robinsonfilmcenter.org or call 318-459-4122. That's 318-459-4122. This has been a Red River Radio Spotlight, and for Red River Radio, I'm Bill Beckett.